Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, welcome to Keeping the Path Lit. This is Sonia Haramis, and today we're privileged to host Danyon Brinkley, New York Times best-selling author who has sold more than 20 million books worldwide. Danyon has had three near-death experiences that have dramatically changed his life, as well as the lives of his readers, people who attend his workshops, and those who have been comforted by Danyon's hospice care. Welcome to the show, Danyon.
Sonia, thank you so much for having me.
Well, we're so happy to have you join us today. Your books provide so much comfort and love, and you had three near-death experiences and saw beyond this world and learned there's no need to be afraid and that no one ever dies. What happens when we do cross over?
Well, the first thing is you relieve yourself of all the fear that normally comes in the course of what we've been taught. We've all taught to be afraid, either because we don't know what's next or we're going to hell because we're sinners, or all those mindsets that's been incurred, Sonia, to create a fear-based concept of the love of God. We talk all about how much God loves us, and we talk all much of how Jesus died for our sins until it comes time to face that moment. And when that time comes, we've been instilled with a sense of fear, a sense of fear of love and of divinity and of the nature and the path. Well, thank God for the near-death experience, because the near-death experience just didn't come as a religious experience. It came as an advancement in the quantitative understanding of the chemistry of the human body. So the person who is the most blamed for us who come back is the medical industry. They keep bringing us back with these stories and these phenomenal adventures about our spiritual self. So what happens is first you lose the fear. The next thing you happens is that no one ever dies. The third thing that happens is you are more comfortable in the place that you end up after you let that last breath out than any place that you've ever been in your life. And you also know the place. You have an instant memory. You may not can think of it right at that moment, but you had an instant memory of knowing this place.
And that's of great comfort to all of us. And you've talked about so much of your life's work is in service to others. All of your books are in service to all readers because of the knowledge that you share with us. And you talk about the panoramic life review and that it measures the spiritual growth that took place in the life we're leaving and determines the threshold of consciousness we're prepared to cross over as we re-enter heaven. Could you tell us a little bit more about the panoramic life review?
Well, Sonia, I believe without any question that the panoramic life review becomes the single most important event that we bring back with us, because everything else that is over there just awaits us. The knowledge of the panoramic life review gives us insight into what's next. And what happens is you will see, now imagine this, you will see your entire life pass before you in a 360-degree panorama. You will be amazed at how much you have blocked from your consciousness so that you can achieve the goal that you were sent to achieve. We all are chosen to come, and we choose to come. When you see your whole life pass before you, you have missed nothing. Then you watch this same life from a second-person point of view, as though you were your best friend looking at you. No one ever makes a mistake. You set certain goals based on the mission put forth, and you set certain goals. And what you get to see is how close you got to that goal that you set for yourself. Some people get really close. Some people achieve it. Some people don't get very close because they pay too much attention. But yet you have to look at this as a spiritual being. And then you literally become every person that you have ever encountered. You see your entire life from the other person's point of view. Now, my first near-death experience was pretty terrible because I grew up as a bully, tough guy, and I thought that hitting people in the mouth was the way you got things settled. But when you become every other person, you feel that emotional pain and that humiliation and all of that. But most people have really good stuff. You never really realize when you said hello or when you patted somebody on the back and said it was okay, or when you said it's going to be, you know, okay, it's going to be all right, or you help someone carry something to the car. You never really know how important that is in the divine flow. So when you start to look at your life, it's just the little tiny things that you do each and every day that that makes a difference. You know, and once you realize that this is going to happen, the first thing you realize is that no one gets away with anything. No one gets away. So instead of worrying about anger, you learn about forgiveness. Because when you realize forgiveness is a power, not does it lessen you, it greatens you. Because why get between somebody and what they have coming? I mean, I've learned to forgive instantly because once you begin to give instantly, then that flow between them and the life of you sets itself in motion. And the most important thing is when you get to through your panoramic life of you, there is this last part. And this is a Danianism because there's very few things over there that you can describe over here. But people should think of this. If God could not come today and God sent you in the life you just reviewed, what difference did you and God make? When you frame your life that way, Sonia, you have no problems about whether you will go to heaven. You have no problems about whether the next trip is delightful. And you have absolutely no problem about the fact that you have achieved in your life what you set to do.
I love that. I love all of the Danianisms, and that one is so profound and shifts our awareness into such a spiritual responsibility and accountability that, you know, every thought, every action, every deed that we do then takes on new meaning. And I love just everything that you talk about and teach. One of the things I loved so much was that you said what matters to spirit is not the mistakes you made, but how often you're willing to help others through your love and kindness and compassion, and that life is meant to be a divine state of grace.
Well, I put it like this. You know, when you start to really think about it, and this is a joke I tell you, probably you heard it in the lecture, you are all hanging out in heaven, and God comes up and puts God's arm around you, and he says, "Hi, Sonia, how would you like to be me for a couple of days?" You say, "Wow, God, that would be great. I could be you for a couple of days." God says, "Yes." And then God says, "Well, what would you could do?" He said, "Well, I could be powerful and compassionate and courageous and supportive and protective and all-knowing, and to be able to make the difference in people's lives and to be able to change things for the good and be able to help little children and help elderly people and people who are lonely and lost, God." And God says, "Well, that's great." And they said, and you say, God says, "Is that how you see me?" And you say, "Yeah, God, a great, loving, powerful, spiritual nature that permeates all things in kindness and good and compassion." And then God says, "Well, Sonia, would you truly, really like to be me for a couple of days?" And you say, "Yeah, absolutely." And what happens next is you are born. Because everything you ever said about God, every ideal that you have about God today, every pattern, you have the power to be God each and every day, to be kind, loving, compassionate, to be feeling, to be supportive, to be helpful. We have each of those powers within our humanness. based on our spiritual nature guiding us. And that's how we all got into this, Sonia. One day we decided we wanted to practice being godlike. And that's the mission of the earth plane. In this dimension, we're practicing being godlike with all the opportunities to either be or not be, because there's free will. You can either be compassionate, loving, or you can not be compassionate, loving. That's the choice you have, but it's the choice you're giving here to be practicing being godlike.
And we never know how much of a difference in someone's life either a small gesture might make or a larger gesture. We just never know. And you so eloquently share in the trilogy of your book, Saved by the Light, At Peace in the Light, and The Secrets of the Light. And listeners, I encourage you to visit Danyon's website, danyon.com, to learn about all of Danyon's work, books, events, readings. And also, we've already touched upon this a bit. You talk about forgiveness and how that has the greatest value here and in the hereafter, and that it's our passport to divine greatness while we're still engrossed in the experience of humanity, and it's needed to find a state of grace. Could you share a little bit more about why forgiveness is so important?
Well, this is a fair and just universe. The panoramic life of you teaches that no one gets away with anything. You will be whoever it is you encounter. I mean, you are way too busy, okay, to be involved in not believing it's a fair and just universe. And forgiveness creates new opportunity for you and for the person that you're forgiving. People have to realize that a single thought affects everybody else on the planet. And because we live in instant knowledge and instant gratification because of the internet and how news travels and Instagram and tweets, and we're even more connected spiritually than all of that stuff is. Those are minor small parts of how we are connected in the electronic age. But in our ethereal spiritual self, we're a billion times more connected. And that's easily proven. We're all now engrossed in what we call quantum physics. Quantum physics defies all of the Newtonian mechanics, the physical universe, or what physics? Quantum. And in quantum mechanics, there is the string theory, the chaos theory, the multi-universe theory. And in these theories, there are hypotheses or thought patterns of how and what we are connected. In the last year, the CERN electron collider in Switzerland, the 17-mile circle of electrons to bombard electrons, to prove a postulated theory called the Higgs boson particle theory. The Higgs boson particle theory is a subatomic particle. And to bombard particles, bombard electrons to the point where you can show a significant relationship of the Higgs boson particle. It was an equation a guy put on a board in 1964. Well, they've proven it. So that there is this particle. But what does that say? That says that everything in the universe is connected. And it's connected in what they call as dark matter, and they call it dark matter because out in the vacuum of space, it's all black. I thought it was a really funny name for God, dark matter. But because it, well, you know, scientists don't have an ethereal sense. But now you can prove that we're all connected. And it's not some yogi on a mountaintop contemplating his navel in India or Tibet, Sonia. It's in modern physics laboratories around the world that this proven. So when you think that Twitter is close or Instagram is close or Facebook is close, think about quantum theoretical mechanics. You are a part of me and I am a part of you. And in forgiving an action or a transgression, then there is a part of me that's affected by me forgiving you. I happen to know this to be an absolute fact because I seem to never learn. They have to kill me like every 10 to 12 years just to keep my attention. But, you know, I've come this path because each time I've learned something more and more about us. And I think that somehow in some place I chose this. I mean, I have this overwhelming belief that we set up ourselves before we come with obstacles, and then how well we overcome those obstacles is how we advance back when we travel to the other side. Mm-hmm. And in the course of that advancement, we empower others.
Mm-hmm.
And when people start to really think about, Sonia, about how much their actions are appreciated or admired, and I always try to teach people. I'm writing it in this new book that I'm doing behind on it. It's called 10 Things to Know Before You Go. And
yes.
I got tired of being dead, so I decided to write a leaving book.
Good.
It's called 10
Good
Things
for us.
To Know.
Good for you. Good for us.
Yeah. Well, the trilogy was, Saved was my journey, At Peace was my plan, and The Secrets was how a person can take. In the 7 Secrets, this is me studying the panoramic life review, Sonia, and creating scenarios so if you get into trouble, if you use one of those scenarios and frame whatever your problem is, like I always use number 5, I choose to be here at this time and at this point because this is the time I can make the greatest difference. And instead of looking at woe is me, I look at what difference I can make. And because you use a certain structured system based on the panoramic life review, of which I have had 3, and I have studied the panoramic life review in probably 4,000 near-death experience people that I've encountered because I already know all that other stuff. I just want to hear their structure of the panoramic life review. Then I wrote The Secrets. So I wrote it with Catherine, my wife, that these are 7 principles that you can depend on. You can depend on them. And once, like the 6 and 7 is there's a world before you came here and there's a world after you came here. And the world before and the world after is the same world. And so when you start to look at that, especially in grief and bereavement and trauma and loss of someone, and you say, well, okay, let's see what Daniel said. There's a world before this, and then there's a world after this. That means I was somewhere before I came here, and that means I will be somewhere when I leave here. And they're the same place. And then when you read it, you see that I'm framing a spiritual psychology. And I promise, if you use them in secrets, you'll figure your way out of all the crap you got yourself in, not realizing that you were responsible for it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
People always want to blame someone else for what goes wrong in their life. Well, that never happens.
It's true, and that's a beautiful book, and I would highly recommend it to our listeners. Again, The Secrets of the Light. And, Daniel, can they pre-order the 10 Things to Know Before You Go, How the Secrets of the Afterlife?
Yeah, it was supposed to drop July the 15th or July the 20th on my birthday, but it won't happen.
Okay.
Because when I start to look, and what's been happening to me is, as I see so much of the prophecies, the boxes of knowledge from Saved by the Light, I wrote down what I said from 1975. I wrote it down in 1992. And if anybody goes and looks at Secrets at Saved by the Light and look that that book is 20 years old on June 3rd, that book will be 20 years old.
Remarkable.
So the stuff that I wrote in that book 20 years ago, based on what I saw in the boxes of knowledge in 1975, you can't touch me. And you can't touch the divine knowledge that I was able to hold on to. You can't do it. We're now at a basis of a worldwide change. And I'm really studying what the Pope, this thing about the Pope reestablishing a Jerusalem, a center for Catholicism in Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen. and mm-hmm. he's going to set a way to create peace and then begin to establish this. And I wrote this all down in 1975, and here it comes. And here are so many of the other things that if you read it, you will see how much I was right. And it's not really so much me that was right, Sonia, as much as it was that I could remember what each of those beings were showing me. And as this is happening, it's causing me to rethink so many chapters in the book. You know, I'm almost serious in some of it. You know,
it's remarkable to watch it all unfold. And in that, there is also comfort in knowing that we can still have the power to change things.
Nothing's carved in stone. Nothing's carved in stone. But they laid it out in such a way that if we kept thinking the same way that we were thinking, which is what we've still been doing, we would end up in the same place. And that was Afghanistan and Iraq. That was another Vietnam. And now we're closing that door. And as we start to look at this, the biggest one to right at the present was, as Russia goes, so shall go the world. And who in the heck would have thought that in 1975? But I predicted the collapse of the Soviet Union, which happened, Chernobyl, which happened, Fukushima, which happened. And now, as Russia goes, so shall go the world. And look what's happening. The economic stability of the world currency, the dollar, is now being threatened by Russia and China. And China and Russia, this oil deal and natural gas line deal between Russia and China, I said that there would be an issue where they would literally fight each other, and it would be near a railroad. Now, this is 1975, Sonia. And what's Goodness. Now is the Siberian-China natural gas pipeline is being built next to the Trans-Siberian Railroad. So,
that's incredible.
Well, they know what they're doing over there. Mm-hmm. And they gave me a chance to look at it. They gave me a chance to look at it and to see, you know, especially about how my life was, but how we affect each other by still following the same old humdrum, boring, fear-based, terror-based threat. And now the Great War, we always keep thinking the war is going to be over oil. The Great War will be over water. So everybody that's in Sedona are listening to this show. You pay attention to the acre feet of water that's being produced on the property you have. And you pay attention to the source of your water. Because if you look at all the droughts that's occurring in Texas, thank God Houston got some rain, but if you look at all the droughts in Texas and in California and the drought, and you look that 60% of all water in China is polluted, and the Chinese hierarchy are drinking tankers of water coming from the Great Lakes. Nestle's draining the Great Lakes because it's one of the last freshwater reserves on the earth. India is running out of water, and we have drought. Now, you can go a long way without oil, but you can't go very long without water. So people should really pay attention to water rights, the cost of water, and even more importantly, how the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank are going to make water a commodity that is no longer free and that you have a given right to it. Do you realize that there are states that are making it illegal for you to catch rainwater? Illegal.
I've been following some of the issues in the news, and it's hard to believe. One of the things I loved that you talked about in the workshop, especially during these times, is the importance for us to practice deep conscious breathing and how it's the best way to center ourselves daily, to meditate and discover how the sacred space between our breaths is where spirit resides. I love what you say, that you breathe in for you and breathe out for God or spirit. And
spiritual unfoldment.
Spiritual unfoldment.
You breathe in for you and out for spiritual unfoldment. So you never throw a punch breathing in. You always throw a punch breathing out. So when you change that into a conscious concept, when you breathe in, you are oxygenating your body, or air, putting air in your body. What most people never realize, Sonia, that air is 75% nitrogen. So if you are listening to this show, when we hang up from this interview, then everyone should go look up nitrogen and see what nitrogen does in the body. And once you look up nitrogen and you see what it does in the body, then you begin to see why it is so important. It's only 20% oxygen. The rest of it's nitrogen and a few other minerals, a little carbon dioxide. But the point of it is what nitrogen does in the body. And when you realize that that is a divine force, you cannot see it, taste it, touch it, smell it, or any of that. And yet without it, you cannot live more than 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. So that's the divine's way of, with the atmosphere, the ionosphere, and the stratosphere, to create, which is what we have to have moisture in the air and air. Without that, that's the way the divine gives us a connection. But what people don't stop to do is we live in terror, we live in fear, we live in judgment, and that slows down our breathing. And when you slow down your breathing, you're cutting off the vital flow of life to yourself. So I always talk to people, and I say, look, here's what really matters. When you pull that breath in, you have 8 sinus cavities. Now, why in the hell would you have 8 sinus cavities on you if it wasn't such a spiritually important 8? And if you put your finger in the center of your forehead where your so-called pituitary gland is, or your psychic eye, and you connect your 8 sinus cavities, it's the figure 8. And so as air flows in those sinus cavities, people don't ever stop to think, when you breathe in, you have to stop before you breathe out. It's not a continuous flow. You breathe in, you stop, and then you breathe out. I try to get people to stop when they're trying, when they're sitting or relaxing or on the ride home or whatever they're doing, to pay attention to their breath, to breathe it in, hold it, 1001, 1002, and let it out. Because when you do that, you create a spiritual rhythm that opens you up to a higher understanding. When you worry about a problem, you can take one of the insights from Secrets of the Light. And that book was originally called Spiritual Strategies to Empower Your Life Both Here and in the Hereafter. But when Harper Collins bought it, they changed the name, but they gave me all that money, so I didn't care what they did. But
well, we still got to read it, so.
Yeah, so what we have to do, how we change everything around us, is breathing. And using frameworks. Everybody has a lot of the same problems because we're all trying to make a heaven on earth. And I have another technique I'll tell you in a moment that people can use. But when you're paying attention to your breathing, I do this 3 times a day without question. I stop and pay attention to my breathing. I don't breathe very shallow because I've been doing this for 38 years. Mm-hmm. But when you stop and you pay attention to your breathing, you see how shallow you're breathing.
It's
so
true.
So that means you're slowing down the oxygen to your brain, and then what's causing you? Watching the news, worrying about if your clothes fit right, how you're going to pay the rent. All these things, which are mostly created by forces controlling your breath. And think about this, Sonia. What if you did not autonomically breathe? What if you didn't naturally breathe? How important would each breath be?
Everything.
It would be all there was at the bedside. And I've been with 2,008 people. The last 2 people I was with was Christmas Day. And so when I look at this, I have seen this happen. I've seen the room filled with light. I have seen beings that what you would think was no one even knew and no one was even coming to, it was a veteran, and no one was either coming to the funeral. They were just going to cremate him. He was a John Doe. But I've seen the whole room fill with beings. I've seen people get out of their bodies and look around and smile. I see people in hallways and hospitals, you know, and they're like, I have friends who laugh because they said, Daniel, you have more dead friends than you have living. Well, because I don't see a separation, Sonia, between this world and the next. And I could have been a great spiritual medium. I mean, people who come to me for readings realize that I spend a lot of times talking to their relatives because they're always trying to tell them something. But the near-death experience is not a religious experience. People see God, Buddha, Allah, Muhammad. That being that everybody sees at the end of the tunnel that they describe is really themselves, Sonia.
Mm-hmm.
No, if you believe the delusion, we're all still there. And that being that meets you at the end of the tunnel is really yourself welcoming you home.
I hope everyone has enjoyed our conversation today with Daniel Brinkley. Please visit Daniel.com to learn more about Daniel's books, events, readings, and to sign up for his free newsletter. Thank you, Daniel, for being with us today and for sharing your gifts, good cheer, wisdom, and kindness. Thank you, listeners, for joining me today on Keeping the Path Lit. This is Sonia Haramis, and I invite you to visit my website, peaceofthedreamer.com.